Knowledge of absolute is impossible. Scientific knowledge of such a being is impossible. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Knowledge of absolute is impossible. Scientific knowledge of such a being is impossible. These are the words of philosopher Immanuel Kant. And Kant was known for deep thinking and deep introspective awareness. But just like the Christian Science uses the term absolute for God, and the dictionary uses the term absolute for God, and just like the Hebrews have said in the Old Testament, no man shall ever see God and live. In the Old Testament, before it was written down a great deal, there was no word that was used for God. Everything was alluded to, but no word was given to it, because it was so precious, it was so beyond description, beyond understanding, that no one was able to speak that word, and virtually, and live. In fact, the Ark of the Covenant was designed in such a marvelous way, it was really a great battery. And any person who touched it, who was not prepared in touching it, was killed. The battery just shocked them to death. Now, the priests were conditioned to this. They went through a training, just like workers on the electric company go through training to know how to avoid being shocked to death. But in the process, they received little bits of current, until ultimately they were able to do what they had to do without being shocked to death. Quite nice. You can be sure about that. But in making the statement, knowledge of absolute is impossible, and scientific knowledge of such a being is impossible, that's understandable. That's very understandable. For how do you define absolute? And until you define absolute, you don't know what information belongs to it. Now, I like to define absolute as the isness, absolute as the allness, absolute as the one, absolute as the creative cause of all that exists. And you say, well, those terms, those relationships that you're using are just what are used to define God. And yes, it's true. For God, in its allness, is what the absolute is. However, we are not defining God as people think we're defining God. For God, in the dictionary again, is a lowercase God. This is the universal God that's everywhere present, the universal beingness that is aware of all things, while the capitalized God is a deity that refers to a particular group, like the Christian God, the Hindu God, the Hindu gods, the gods of the Mohammedans, the God of the Hebrews, the God of all different tribes on the face of the earth, many of them giving special names to their God to sort of indicate that it's a special God to their particular culture. Now, as these gods are thought about and as these gods are referred to, they're all capitalized and they all have a laundry list of details that define them. And these details are different for each god, but yet, in a way, they are quite similar. In a way, they say that this God can do anything. It says that this God created everything, that this God is a giver of everything, that this God also is a taker of everything, that this God is the allness and the oneness and the totality of anything that exists in the universe. Well, now, those similar features are given to every God that exists on the face of the earth. Interesting to use the word term exists on the face of the earth. For each God is concluded to have created the earth on which it exists. But more to the point, it exists in our consciousness, in our thinking, in what we believe about it. Now, how do we define it? Immanuel Kant had a great deal of trouble. Knowledge of absolute is impossible. And that, of course, is an incorrect statement. However you define any term, that is the knowledge that refers to it. However you define absolute, that is the knowledge that refers to it. However you define Herb Bierly, that's the knowledge that refers to Herb Bierly. And it is knowable. Now, if you say Herb Bierly and there is no knowledge available on Herb Bierly, there is no one who knows him, there is no resume on him, there is no story on him, there is no information on him, then yes, that's true. You don't know. But every God, every use of the term God, every capitalized God is given a definition. It's a definition that refers to an individual culture and how they define God for themselves. Now, as we might think of absolute, then is this absolute beyond the creation activity? Did this absolute create everything? Did this absolute beingness, if you want to call it a being, did this absolute consciousness, and even that is an interesting term for it, did this absolute create everything to be? And in creating everything to be, is everything that which created it? So, in other words, whatever the absolute creates, that is the absolute too, because it has everything in it the absolute has. If the absolute creates a stone, it has everything in it the absolute has. And you say, well, my goodness, how can a stone and a human being and God be all compared? It is only a matter of whether we are absolute or whether we are relative. If we are relative and we look at humanity, we see humanity less than the angels, less than God, less than the allness, which is not true, but that's how we see it, because that's where our consciousness is at the moment. If we look at a stone, we say a stone surely does not have the ability to do things as man does. The stone hasn't the ability to do things that even a seed in the ground has. A tree, a flower, a bird, a bee, an animal, a man. It's indescribable. But if we are to look at it as the creative cause looks at it, and as the creative cause created itself in that as all that the creative cause is, we ask the question, why would the creative cause create a stone, an animal, a human? Why would a creative cause create these limited expressions of itself? Now, we don't have a definition for that. We don't have answers to all these things. We can presume an answer. We can presume the answer that if we were to think of it from the human point of view, why would a human being marry another human being who had a disease, and then they would have diseased children, and these diseased children would have diseased children? Now, why would that be taking place? Well, that's a good question. Certainly, the human being should have better sense than to do something like that, which is going to propagate an unhappy situation. But they've got to have children of their own womb and of their own loin. They have to create them out of the infinite allness. Well, why? There are many, many children who don't have parents. Many, many children who would love to have parents who would look after them and love them. And what difference does it make if it is your particular seed? If it is a child, it's a child of the infinite. It's a child of the absolute. It's a child, an absolute child. It is God. And what difference does it make whether the God has red hair like you do, or whether the God has blonde hair, or brown hair, or black hair? It makes no difference. It doesn't make any difference what color the skin is of this God. Just remember that any child born into life is God. And you say, well, wouldn't a child that's diseased be God also? Yes, it's true. It's true. But why not clean up yourself first, if you have a disease, and see yourself whole and perfect, and then create children as you wish. But why force your attitude of illness onto a body that you bring forth into the world and have that body live in that limitation? And, oh yes, there, everything has a purpose, everything has a reason for being, but why create problems for yourself? We were just saying, why is it that some people create themselves illness? Why is it some people create themselves riches? It all depends on how they define God. And if they define themselves as something less than the allness that God is, then of course they'll define themselves as having things less than the allness of God is. For surely, God in its allness, absolute in its allness, has everything that exists in it, and it needs nothing, and there's nothing we can give to absolute or we can give to God that will placate God and make God like us more. There are only things we can give to ourselves. Only things we create for ourselves, only things that we live for ourselves, because we are absolute. And Mr. Kant didn't really stop and think that whenever you have a definition, you have knowledge. And no word can exist without a definition that defines it, and so therefore it has knowledge. Knowledge of absolute is impossible, he says, but is it? Scientific knowledge of such a being is impossible, but is it? Look at any creation on the face of the earth and know that the absolute brought that forth, that God brought that forth, that this beingness brought that forth. Look at the elements that surround us. Look at the stars, the moons, the sun. Look at the universe. Look at whatever you can conceive as a limited human being. Surely the divine, the absolute, God creates it much more grand than our capacity to conceive it exists. Now, we look at a drop of water with a magnifying glass or with a microscope, and we see all the little creatures in there, and we think to ourselves, for goodness sakes, we drink that. And we look at the bacteria, and we see on top of the bacteria other bacteria, and inside of the bacteria other bacteria, and we see bacteria upon bacteria upon bacteria, and we see bacteria that have certain clinging bacteria to it that is one type, and we see another type that has other clinging bacteria to it which defines it as another type. And the both bacteria may be quite the same, and yet it's just where they are found and what the nature of their finding is that makes them what they are. But even then, scientists have been able to cleanse bacteria of some of the things that they have, which they found very beneficial, but scientists felt it was fun to take it away. And many other things are treated in much the same way. The atom, scientists like to, you know, part the atom, to split the atom. And in splitting the atom, they let loose great energy. And they feel, isn't that wonderful? Big toy firecracker, how great that is. Wow, you know? And man has not necessarily been able to handle that split firecracker in a positive way all the time. Well, you're saying, Herb, that we shouldn't investigate the universe, we shouldn't split the atom, we shouldn't... Hey, I don't say any of that stuff. All I say is, when we begin to understand we are absolute, we will know all these things without having to do any of these things. We will be all these things without having to experiment. That's the way it works. That's the way the program works. If we want it to work that way, we'll have great results from it. And we'll just have the time of our life. Now, can we go along with Mr. Kant when he says, knowledge of absolute is impossible, scientific knowledge of such a being is impossible? Well, we know that Mr. Kant was thinking of a totally different area. He was thinking that to know God, man cannot know him and live, because this is the teachings of the Old Testament. And to know the teachings of Jesus are, again, another direction in the life of philosophy and religion. And to know exactly what was said, or that we'll never know, of course, but to know what was meant, well, that we'll never know either, but to know what was said that they said, that's interesting. And by and large, they said, be yourself and have fun. The development within you of who you are is who you really are. The divine in you is your master. The divine in you is God. The divine in you is you. You are God. It says all these wonderful things, and it's up to us to look at them and learn. And when we look at them and learn and are aware of how Absolute works, we are utterly delighted and amazed, because we live in a fabulous world where fabulous things are happening all the time to fabulous people, which is who we are. Ain't life grand? I love this philosophy. I love you. I love you. I love you.